Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing how trauma affects our self-worth. So our self-worth is such a key element to our mental health, our ability to live happy and peaceful lives, and our ability to reach success, particularly in our intimate relationships. Now, trauma and abuse deeply affects our self-worth in a myriad of negative ways. Many of these ways we're not even aware of, and they do have a deep and insidious effect on all elements of our life. So in this podcast episode, we're going to discuss how trauma and abuse affects our self-worth and how we can take steps to restore our self-worth to health in a way that upgrades our life, particularly our relationships. So to begin, something very deep and profound happens to us, happens to our sense of self when we experience trauma, childhood abuse, neglect, mistreatment at the hands of our trusted superiors. Now, because we are so entirely dependent on our superiors, particularly our parents, to tell us who we are and what our worth is, when we are treated in a way that renders us powerless, humiliated, and ashamed, we are going to receive a message very deeply and very clearly that our worth is low, if not entirely worthless. Because these feelings, which are usually shame and guilt, and then beliefs about ourselves are extremely intolerable, the child and then the eventual adult does whatever they could to avoid these negative self-evaluations. They begin to live a life habitually pursuing and attempting to gain value as a person to essentially make up for the little value that they feel like they have inside innately. Now, most of our toxic and dysfunctional character traits that we have could be traced back to an experience of shame, helplessness, powerlessness, and feelings of intrinsic worthlessness, and then a subsequent maladaptive attempt to then rid these feelings or make up or compensate for the feelings of low self-worth, low self-evaluation. Now, the abandonment wound in particular is extremely damaging. And when it comes to self-worth, because the child is so desperate to fit in, to survive, it sees acceptance as the ultimate value of a person. The more one is approved of and accepted in the eyes of others and the eyes of their superiors, the more value they have. So with abandonment, the threat of being outcast or rejected is just too much. It's overwhelming. The child literally has to escape themselves, run away, or reject their authentic self in exchange for the acceptance and approval of others. They have to become something that is acceptable so that they can survive. And here's where things get chaotic. Here's where things get very messy. So this inner chaos of the child sets up a pattern of looking outside of oneself to gain value. And this is where you see people-pleasing, overachieving, attention-seeking behaviors. All these are examples of compensating for one's own lack of self-worth with the approval, attention, and positive evaluation from other people. And the logic goes something like this. If I don't value myself, right, and I see myself as having very little worth, if I can find a way to impress someone who does have self-worth and they value me, now I will get self-worth. So obviously this is the primitive mind of the child coming to these conclusions. And obviously it's an unsustainable model because until a person learns to value themselves, they will continue to be devalued by other people. In addition, the amount of energy and effort it takes to uphold an image of oneself as being valuable to then combat the inner feelings of low self-worth, it's unsustainable. And eventually there will not be enough effort and accomplishments and positive self-evaluation from others in the world to protect one from the worthlessness that they believe and then feel inwardly. It really is a never-ending pursuit. And eventually this defense mechanism collapses and the person running is sort of forced to face the fact that their negative self-evaluation must be identified, must be shifted out of, and these wounds, the deep wounds, must be healed. And no one in the outside world can do this for them. No amount of others being impressed with them will matter because this negative self-worth, the self-evaluation, is coming from one's own self, from one's own self-evaluation. In addition, one's belief system, once corrupted with lies such as I'm worthless, I'm only worthy if other people like me or approve of me, essentially these are coming from the deep within the subconscious mind, and they're going to attract more and more experiences of rejection and abandonment. So until a person identifies these beliefs within in the subconscious mind, brings them to the conscious awareness, challenges them, dismantle them, they will continue to attract rejection and abandonment experiences like this to reflect back, regardless of any attempt to gain acceptance and approval from outside of oneself. Furthermore, because the abandoned child has essentially abandoned themselves to become what others want them to be to gain acceptance and approval in order to survive, this is essentially in exchange for that love and approval of others. Because they are, in essence, already self-rejected, they are endlessly frustrated trying to get others to appreciate them, accept them, and love them. Because even if they do get that approval and acceptance from other people, when a person has already abandoned themselves, they cannot receive love from others, since in essence they are not present in their own life. They have jumped ship, they have escaped themselves, and if you're not even there to receive love, you can't ultimately accept it. Having a negative self-evaluation, having low self-worth, low self-esteem, is truly devastating. I believe it's at the core of most of our relationship struggles and mental health issues. So for a person who has low self-worth, a person who has low self-esteem usually won't respect themselves. And without self-respect, they're not going to necessarily put themselves first, and they're not going to put them, they're going to end up putting themselves in situations that are potentially harmful and dangerous, and that puts them in risk for further harm. In addition, a person with low self-worth is going to seek experiences and people to gain self-worth from. And usually this is where we attract narcissistic abusers and emotional manipulators who will then use this unmet need against them and ultimately further exploit. In addition, a person with low self-worth is going to usually have a very difficult time manifesting abundance and growing to their full potential. So in life, we get what we put out into the universe. So when we put out a frequency of being unworthy, essentially that repels abundance in every dimension, in every aspect, which includes money, resources, opportunities for growth, which could lead us to growing to our full potential. Since we need to, in essence, feel worthy of abundance in order to receive it, we have to align with the abundance by believing that we are worthy and capable of receiving it. Our beliefs of unworthiness won't allow us to accept it. And if we do find a way to manifest abundance, we oftentimes sabotage it because it doesn't align with our beliefs, and our beliefs of unworthiness need to be proven correct, hence the sabotage. Furthermore, when we have low self-worth, we are very often going to shame ourselves and beat ourselves up mercilessly, have a very strong, rageful inner critic. And whenever we make a mistake, if we disappoint ourselves or disappoint others, we're going to attack, we're going to lash out, and we're going to have very little patience for imperfections. Another way of saying this is we are going to lack self-compassion, and as a result of that, we're going to struggle to show empathy and compassion for ourselves as well as for other people. So it takes self-worth, it takes self-love and evaluating of yourself to have patience and compassion. And ultimately, the lower we evaluate ourselves, the lower self-worth we have, the less tolerant we have for ours and other people's humanness. And this is going to wreak havoc on our intimate relationship specifically, because we're not going to be able to show our partner the necessary compassion that they need, which would allow them to feel safe, to feel seen, heard, and understood, all of which are very much prerequisites for healthy intimacy. They're not going to be able to be vulnerable, and as a result of that, they're not going to be open, and as a result of that, intimacy is going to suffer. In addition, we will expect our partner to make up for our own self-worth deficit, our own inability to accept ourselves, value ourselves, and love us, and ultimately to give us worth. So we're trying to get our partner to give us those things, to give us value. And this puts an incredible stress on the partner, but it also on the relationship, and usually ends up breaking down. Now, because the healing work of finding self-worth can only truly be done inwardly, the more we depend on a partner to give us these things, the less we actually give those things to ourselves. And this usually leads to feelings of frustration and resentment towards our partner for not giving us this worth, when in essence, they cannot give it to us no matter how much they want to or how much they try. Now, it's very common that abuse and trauma victims are going to struggle to be present and non-reactive. This is pretty much consistent all across the board. Someone who's undergone trauma and abuse is going to have wounds, and as a result of that, will struggle to be fully present in the moment. Now, what this means is that they're going to feel negative emotions, such as shame and guilt, and usually identify with these feelings as who they are, and also identify with the thoughts and negative thought streams that accompany those negative emotions as who they are as well. So when triggered into shame, or some negative emotion triggers them, then they're going to go down this sort of shame spiral, because a negative emotion is going to immediately lead to a negative thought stream or a program, which then leads to more shame, and it sort of reinforces the program, which then reinforces the emotion, and that spiral eventually breaks us down into chaos. And this also explains why victims of abuse or trauma, their self-worth is going to fluctuate very rapidly based on how they feel. When they're feeling good or high, their self-worth is high because their emotions are who they are. So if I feel good, I am good. And when they're feeling low, then their self-worth is going to plummet. So depending on their mood and the particular emotion that they're experiencing, and then the subsequent self-talk and programming is what will determine how the victim will feel about themselves, how they'll evaluate their self-worth. And finally, with low self-worth, we are endlessly pursuing and therefore exhausted trying to get others to give us, meet our needs of being valuable, to see us, to validate us, to accept us. And as a result, we are going to feel very powerless. We're going to feel like a victim of other people when they don't give us what we want and what we expect. And we're going to develop very deep resentments and be highly hurt and reactive when others don't give us what we believe that they are withholding from us. And as a result, it brings barriers between people and definitely for intimacy. So what do we do if we have low self-worth? If we are traumatized, we've been through abuse, and we do in fact struggle with low self-esteem, which is very typical, like I mentioned, of trauma and abuse victims. How do we begin to take back our power from the endless and futile pursuit of finding value and worth outside of ourselves? So there's a very fundamental more that needs to be understood, accepted, integrated in our daily life, because it is factual when it comes to self-worth. It is the following. Our self-worth is innate. It is infinite and is not dependent on anything outside of ourselves. Our very nature of being a human being is worthy, and there's nothing we can do to lower that innate worth. Now, the reason we don't feel this way and we don't believe or live this way is because we are believing lies about ourselves, and we are identifying with negative emotions and thoughts as who we are. And ultimately, we're going to then see ourselves, have a self-image through the eyes of these beliefs, of these feelings, and those are going to be of devaluing us and identifying with, essentially, we're identifying with someone or something who is not our true self. So in essence, we are out of alignment with our authentic self. When we are in possession of faulty programs, we are not ourselves, and therefore we're not going to value this person because that's not who we are. Anytime we start to judge ourselves and put a value on ourselves that's not infinite and abundantly loving, that's ultimately out of alignment with our authentic self, because our authentic self is infinite. So when we identify with our authentic self, we naturally are going to feel worthy, because that authentic self is love, and love is ultimately worthy. Now, so much of our self-worth is based on how we see ourselves, or our self-image, how we feel about ourselves, and what we believe is true about ourselves. So if we are made to feel badly about who we are based on negative mistreatment, we are going to feel negative towards ourselves, which will then cause us to believe negative things about ourselves. And then we'll have this negative self-image, and then as a result of that, we tragically treat ourselves poorly as a result. So we must begin by challenging rigorously any lies we have about ourselves, identifying their origins, and ultimately seeing the lie for what it is and then letting them go. We want to be able to see ourselves in a healthy, positive, and accurate light. In other words, we want to have a healthy self-image, an accurate self-image. And this can only happen if we are looking at ourselves through the lens of compassion and truth and love. And when we do that, when we look at ourselves through that lens, we're able to see ourselves as we are, and not necessarily the distortions that accompany negative emotions and negative core beliefs. Now, we also must identify where we are looking for self-worth outside of ourselves, and where we are not aligning with the fact that we are infinitely worthy, independent of any accomplishment or other people's views or opinions of us. So when we get fully present, right, when we practice present moment awareness, which is essentially showing up to life as who we are, as ourselves, when we accept ourselves without judgment and with compassion, and when we live our life authentically, we're able to shift out of the false ideas about ourselves and live as we are, which is love, like I mentioned. And when we are showing up as we truly are, as the love that we are, then ultimately we will feel very worthy, because that's our nature. So when we have self-awareness, when we know who we are, when we accept ourselves as we are without the need to do or become or be anything but ourselves, in essence, we set ourselves free from the futile and endless pursuit of getting self-worth from others. And essentially, we develop incredible inner peace, knowing that we are worthy by virtue of our beingness, and no one and nothing can add or subtract from that worth. In addition, non-reactivity, life skills like non-reactivity, which I'm very passionate about, and not identifying with our thoughts and negative emotions as who we are, will allow us to take a step back and observe them. And this observer is the authentic self. The observer self is who you are. It is the compassionate self, and it has no interest or even really ability to judge. It is pure love, or often referred to as consciousness or God consciousness. And the more we allow this consciousness, this God consciousness to flow, and the more we realize that this consciousness is who we are, the more we act in this God conscious way, and the more we can realize our infinite worth, and then see things as they truly are and appreciate how loved and worthy we are naturally. So to conclude, I would argue that most of the world's evils stem from feelings of low self-worth and a low self-evaluation of oneself. And this is across the board, independently, our relationship issues, many of them struggle from this belief and these feelings of being worthless. To feel innately worthless, which is essentially shame, is the single worst feeling in the world. And in childhood, when we experience these feelings, and we do not know what to do with them, we don't feel heard, and ultimately we don't know how to regulate them. And when we experience powerlessness of being alone, abandoned, rejected, and helpless, we're going to develop coping mechanisms that, while we need them to survive ultimately, and when they become patterns, habits, and relationship ways of operating in relationships, they are going to cause and wreak havoc on ourselves and others. And they're going to get in the way of truly being able to grow and be happy as people. So to love yourself is to value yourself. It's to value yourself, realizing that you are worthy as you are. You are unconditionally loved as you are. And no one can give us this worth, no accomplishment, no amount of money, no amount of beauty, no amount of validation, no one seeing us in a certain light, nothing except beside for accepting ourselves and realizing that who we are and the acceptance of our true self is infinitely and innately worthy and loved. And this is very much a fundamental makeup of our DNA, of our nature. And therefore, a lot of healing has to do with getting back to our nature. When we get present, when we're able to observe these programs and let them go and challenge them and see them as lies, suddenly we are able to accept the very fundamental fact that we are love and we are infinitely loved and worthy as we are. And in fact, if we are getting worth from anything beside for that, that's essentially where we feel powerless. So I really hope this podcast episode resonated with you. If you're finding yourself feeling worthless, if you're finding yourself very much down this shame spiral, and when anybody says anything to make you feel insecure, then you kind of dive down the shame spiral, please understand that is very typical of trauma and abuse victims who are made to feel powerless and helpless. And when we are triggered into feeling powerless and helpless, that's when we sort of get pulled down into this chaos. So it's so important to get back to your true nature. When we practice skills, like I mentioned, present moment awareness, non-reactivity, and showing up to life authentically, you feel confident because you are secure and safe in the realization that you are infinitely loved and nothing and nobody can shake you. And that's truly how to love yourself. And that's true confidence. And true confidence cannot be gained from other people's approval or getting something from outside of ourselves. Because if we are dependent on something outside of ourselves, then when that thing is removed, suddenly our self-esteem plummets. So when we get strength, when we get confidence and security from the fact that we are enough as we are by our very nature, suddenly we are free to just show up to life as we are without the need to pursue other people's validation, approval, and to get acceptance and self-esteem outside of ourselves. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.